It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru...
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. We also have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
We gave Freddy's Dead a rest this week. You're hearing drummer and singer Levon Helm, who died this past week. And this is him performing The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down from the concert film The Last Waltz, directed by Martin Scorsese. And Helm also had a career besides being one of the founding members of the band and a solo artist in his own right. Films like The Right Stuff, Coal Miner's Daughter, The Three Burials, McKittis Estrada, and Track 29. So... the band, or as I like to call it, the greatest Canadian rock band with a drummer from Arkansas. Thanks, Levon. Now, the man who's ambidextrous and can play the computer and the CD player at the same time is Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Deep and taking a break from producing the Spring Pledge Extravaganza.
That's right.
As well as me
Day
taking a break.
Day 5 of 12.
That's right. And all you have to do is call 1-800-233-0020. Or go to WFYI.org to pledge your support. And Kobe has a challenge, or you have a pledge idea.
I want to do something different. I want to kind of like...
see if people are paying attention?
Well, make it... because we've done the...
we've done things.
Yeah.
So...
well, that was good. We've done the... yeah.
Yeah, we've done that. So, okay, we're getting to you. You're still the guest. So, I guess if you pledge at WFYI.org or 1-800-233-0020, and you put, especially if you email at WFYI.org, and you put in the subject line, what?
I want to think about this for a little bit.
Really? You don't want to come up with the first thing you came up with?
No, I want to do something different.
Okay.
Yeah.
You come up with something, you let us know.
Yeah, I'll let
Should
you
we
know.
Continue on and introduce our guests?
Yes, let's.
Okay. hanging out. Do we have one of Gina's intros ready?
Yeah.
You've already heard her already, so she kind of we blew the lead, but it's okay.
I jumped the gun on my intro.
Kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr.
Who doesn't love that?
Purr.
Who does not love that?
The child who wants a check every time that is aired.
Hey, if one of my clips has to be singing, one of her clips could be singing. It's all fair.
Gina Wagner hanging out, one of the members of the IFJA. Hello.
Hello, hello.
And you brought a very special guest with you.
I did. This is Helena.
Or Swerving Berlin.
And yes, I am very special.
I don't know the role playing, so I don't know which character you want to alias you want to go by.
Well, we're both.
You lead a double life, of course.
I do. We are both from the Roller Derby League, the Circle City Derby Girls, and my code name, I guess, would be Jackie Bauer.
Or else innocent people will die.
Pretty much.
Right.
And I keep going.
Damn it.
Yes.
So, okay. And you ladies have a match tomorrow, beginning
yes,
of the season?
Yes, we do. Yes, this is going to be the opening of our home season. It's called Bout for Blood because roller derby organizations are very charitable and we're going to have a blood mobile.
Oh, as opposed to the end of Rollerball.
Yes.
The original, not the god-awful remake.
Yes.
And this is happening where?
This is at the Field House in Fishers, which is at 116th Street and 69. It's right by that Super Target over there.
Yes.
There's a whole
That's
lot of little businesses.
My neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it is.
So we're going to be skating it up on a basketball court against the Roller Girls of Southern Indiana.
It sounds like a Bravo series.
Yep.
But it's not.
So but yeah, doors open at 5, and we start at 6, and tickets are $12 at the door.
There you go. So, and there's so much going on. If you don't have plans, you can go check that out. But we also have Brian Pierce of the Wet Your Pants Film Festival.
Yes.
And you start tonight.
We actually have a 3D showcase tonight in the informatics building at IUPUI. We're actually showing 3D films. One of them will actually also be playing in our festival as part as an official selection. The other two are student films from IU, and Chris Eller from IU is nice enough to come up and is going to kind of give a little presentation about 3D filmmaking too.
Very cool. Like, why did they do it with Clash of the Titans and Last Airbender and Titanic?
I think with those, he'll tell you he doesn't understand why either. So
okay, good. So we're all on the same page over there. Dan, how you doing? Spouse chairs filled.
Yep.
Sup, he says. All right. Kobe, I'm gonna ask you to look for something in advance, like right now. We have a couple of new films that open. Let's open up the non-nouveau here. We have The Lucky One, which Gina opted to not see. That is, even though you haven't seen it, it's the latest collaboration between Nicholas Sparks and a director who was once doing high profile stuff and an actor who's trying to do more dramatic stuff.
I don't think I can roll my eyes far enough into the back of my head.
Well,
for
you
this
could,
one.
But it'd be kind of creepy and weird.
It would hurt.
Yeah.
I'd look like The Undertaker.
Nice reference there. But
you're
welcome.
This
is the one with Zac Efron, who's allowed to be in movies where he doesn't have to shave. And it's directed by Scott Hicks, who once directed Shine. And it also features Blythe Danner as the overqualified actor, token actor, that is in a Nicholas Sparks novel made into a movie.
Wait, Zac Efron can shave? I didn't think he had facial hair.
He does now, apparently. That or
this is a new development.
That or
actually.
It's burnt cork, you know, that you kind of paste on like in the old theater days. We also have The Deep Blue Sea.
Bless you.
And My Allergies. There we go. Deep Blue Sea with Rachel Weisz. We also have the documentary Chimpanzee, but it's narrated by Tim Allen. Because apparently
you
more
say that like we have the documentary, but it's narrated.
It's narrated by Tim Allen. See, not everything from Michigan is golden. As just a reminder.
So Morgan Freeman and Samuel L. Jackson were
not available. Or Werner Herzog, for that matter, not available.
That would have been really intriguing.
Well, we have the list of you know, the voiceover all-star list. Our dream team list that Werner, of course, is part of.
Shaq. Bill Walton.
Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Wiseau.
You know, we were just talking today. All these great voiceover actors should be the new Siri app. You know, instead of Siri, can't I request Morgan Freeman or Samuel L. Jackson
I'd love Herzog
to give me directions?
Or Tommy. Why don't you turn here? That's live, then. Turn here.
take me on, Werner. I don't want to go.
I don't want to go. I don't want to stay. You want, you're thinking of everything.
I just ordered pizza.
Yeah, with a vodka scotch. Got to have a large vodka scotch.
Man,
and
if,
Denny. That's coming. That's coming this summer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. So the documentary To the Arctic, and we have a film called The Kid with a Bike. That's what I'm giving you the heads up on, Kobe. It's a French film, and about a young man. It's about a kid with a bike, thus the title.
Yeah,
but got dad issues. Dad has abandoned him. He's now living in a foster home, and meets up with a young hairdresser who's taking him home on the weekends as a test run, I guess. And dealing with the kid, dealing with a new father figure. Here's a trailer.
Téléphoner ? Non. Tiens. aime bien, occupez-vous de lui, c'est la seule solution.
C'est vous qui veut voir, pas moi.
Bah, il m'oubliera. T'as vu tout ?
C'est sympa, la coiffeuse prend de la place.
Elle est sympa avec toi ?
Oui. C'est quoi ?
Un bon coup qu'on pourrait faire nous deux. Mais pour te dire, faut que je puisse te faire confiance.
Tu peux ?
Il est toujours dans les parages, il est tous les gamins, il essaie d'en faire ses vendeurs. T'es nouveau, il t'a repéré. Cyril, reviens !
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a ? Je veux mon père.
Je dis ça pour pas que tu sois déçu si jamais ça se passe pas comme tu rêves que ça se passe.
Part of this film, there's several. It's pretty episodic at times with the kid running around with his bike. His bike's getting stolen a lot, and it's one of those films. I think if he had bought a bike chain, the film would be 50 minutes long as opposed to the 87.
But does he leave it in everyone else's driveway? Because that gets on my nerves.
No, he doesn't leave it in the driveway, and he doesn't leave it at the library. Just ask the librarian. But the kid has he's a little magazine rack. He's filled with some issues. Part of it is, of course, being abandoned by his dad, who was told he was going to be put into a foster home for about a month till the dad gets back on his feet. And so he's at a constant. And of course, the dad leaves his apartment and moves elsewhere without telling his child. So the precocious kid is able to find out where his dad is and finally confront the truth about the future of having dad in his life. So that part is heartbreaking because that helps balance out. Watching the beginning of the film, I was worried I was going to be seeing the French version of the spaz kid from Extremely Loud and Incredibly Manipulative. And fortunately, he doesn't quite go down that territory, although it is a little justified. I mean, you know, the kids, you know, the one kid's his dad died in 9/11. This kid, he's been abandoned by his dad. So, you know, justifiable semi-bad behavior. And the relationship with him and the potential new foster parent is nice, and there's a little bit of a Dickensian moment near the end when he meets a father figure who happens to be a criminal. Now, they're not picking pockets and singing tunes like Oliver, but it could have been a lot more overwrought, and fortunately it's not. I mean, it's subtle enough. Ed Johnson-Ott at Nuvo really loved this. I didn't love it as much as he did, but it's subtle enough, and it's something that, you know, like I said, it could have easily been over the top. And of course, it's obligatory to say if they remade it in America, it would be terrible. So take that for what it is. But it's a well-made, emotional little piece, and it's not narrated by Tim Allen. So there's
now that was a good movie.
Now, taking the title of taking the idea of I see film so you don't have to. Is my friend Gina, who
hi there,
who wanted to see something to talk about to be on the show, and to which I say thank you. I appreciate that, and you opted to not see The Lucky One and see Zac Efron's stubbly face, but instead, you saw Think Like a Man.
I did. I needed apparently insight into the male psyche.
Really?
Through Steve Harvey's book. Apparently.
Oh, it's based on a Steve Harvey book, not a Tyler Perry film or play.
Oh, my God. If I had a dollar for every time they mentioned Steve Harvey's name in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a long infomercial, huh?
Yeah. Every single scene. Well, you know what Steve Harvey said about this.
So it's a potential drinking game, only it requires actually paying attention to the movie.
Well, I don't think you would have to. You could just do it every time you see the book, too, because the book is shown a lot.
Really?
With his face all over the camera.
Yep. I took Berlin with me here so she could chime in.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So what is this movie about besides pushing Mr. Harvey's book?
This is about a lot of characters that are summed up in chapters in the book. There's the mama's boy, the player, the dreamer. Everyone is a type. And the women who are in relationships with them are also types themselves. And basically,
good types or bad types?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Obvious types.
Ah.
Is, you know, the single mom, the successful woman, the woman who has always done all these one-night stands and now wants to find a guy to commit with her instead of just using her. That sort of thing.
They don't have names, right? They just have titles.
I didn't bother to learn the names after a while.
Too many.
They're all types. You just call them by their types. You don't have to learn any more about them.
I see. And
and the movie is funny as long as everyone sticks to their types and sticks by the script and says silly things every once in a while.
Do they?
Well, yeah, I actually laughed a lot. The problem is when they decided, oh, we're going to like try and make these real characters and get sappy because everyone has to make up later.
Mm. Now, are these intertwining characters or is this like Valentine's Day?
I'll just tell you what the conflict is.
Please.
The women all have trouble with their relationships.
No.
So...
No.
I know. Isn't that weird?
It's definitely the guy's fault.
Yeah. Oh, it's all
that is so
and
fresh.
And it's always the fault of the men, apparently.
Man.
But... The women all go out and buy the Steve Harvey book, which sells out immediately because all the women in the world have decided to go buy the book at the same time.
Come on. No.
Did Oprah buy it?
It was oddly Oprah. Enough, it was an Oprah book.
Oddly enough, they mentioned that eBay was sold out, but they never said Amazon.
Oh,
I thought that was a little weird.
Somebody irritated Amazon. Okay.
Yep. So the women start following the book to get the men to act the way they want. But then the men do for a little while, and then the men find out there's a book telling the women what to do. So they're like, no, we're going to read the book so that we're going to win. We're going to get ahead. See, we're going to make them think we're doing what they want by lying, and we're not really going to do what they want.
Which is the foundation for a healthy relationship.
Exactly.
Right.
But of course, they're all eventually going to do what the women want. It's a movie.
Isn't that a Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the women are also going to have to compromise just a tiny bit to make relationships work.
Aw.
And we all grew a little.
That's kind of nice.
Except for the short guy. The short guy didn't grow at all.
Oh, Torkin Shokin. Wow. It's just like the first Shrek film.
Well, I'm sorry. He tries to take on one of the most popular WNBA players on the court, and it's embarrassing.
I sent a dozen roses to Susan Anton when I was 12. What's your point? none, really. Shrek, where, you know, the theme of the moral of the story is, you know, accept people for who they are, except for Farquaad. You can make fun of him because he's short. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
I think the moral of this story was read this book to solve all your relationships.
And Steve Harvey... in it, in human form?
Yes.
No.
I
yeah,
she
know. Shows up. The hey. Author shows up.
Yeah.
Wow.
On TV.
He's in all
on
these.
TV.
He's in all these interviews, and then he shows up like a cameo where he's just talking to the camera, like, hey. You don't want to be, you know, this type of girl. You got to hold out like this, and then you'll get your man to do what you want. Keep the cookie in the cookie jar.
Yeah, and if you don't want to actually buy and read the book, the premise is basically. Why buy the cow? That's all you need to know.
When you can have the beef for free.
Exactly.
No, milk.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that.
Right.
But he talks about cookies, so now we're getting really confusing.
Milk and cookies.
Want some more of my cookie? The cookie's a euphemism for a sweet treat. Mm. You know, baked good.
Yes.
So, okay.
We're obviously not talking about anything else.
None whatsoever. Whatsoever. So, unintentionally, did you have fun? Or...
Yeah, I really did have fun until they wrapped it up at the end. Because at the end, I seriously was like, play the wrap it up music. Let's move on. Get to the credits. I'm tired of all of you pretending to cry and get emotional.
You didn't really yell that, did you?
I was well behaved at the theater, but I did talk to the screen on occasion. I'm like, oh no, I love you. Oh my God, he said it. Ah. Okay.
We got that, right? Wow. Well, boy, not screened for the press.
No, not screened for us. Just don't know why.
I don't know.
This is,
you know what? Because they wanted you to see it so you could have your four different flavored toppings on your popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I did.
And it was good.
And it was good.
Kobe, you got a response to that?
Yeah, this is kind of what I'm getting.
That's unfortunate.
No excuse for that.
But this might... there was,
oh, yeah.
We got that one, right? We got that as well?
I like that one.
You like that one?
I like
it's
that.
Casual.
Also, it is casual.
It sounds...
You never saw. Well, my next one will be better.
I don't know if Steve Harvey's film, next film will be better.
Yeah.
It's also
an art film.
You know which one I want to hear. By Joe Shearer. You know you got it there.
It's dumb.
There it is. When in doubt, just hit him hard. Hit him low.
You know, it's like they went for a Tyler Perry at the end.
But there's no Tyler Perry.
But there is no Tyler Perry.
It's a Tyler Perry.
He was in another movie.
Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Good Deeds, where he's not in drag.
I bet that was – did anybody see that? I bet that was something similar. Was that a growing experience?
I bet Steve Harvey people, and I bet people that want building – cleaning people who look like Tandy Newton. I know I do.
Who wouldn't?
Exactly. I would have sent flowers to Susan Anton as well.
You don't even know who that is until you met me.
You're right. Until just now when
you
I
just Google looked, image,
yeah,
didn't you?
Google it.
Yeah, I was precocious as a young lad. I'll tell about that story later. So, okay, well, you better go see stuff at the film festival or go see some roller derby over
Steve
Harvey's
book. See some roller derby. That would be fun.
I hear it's good family entertainment.
It is. We skate in circles really fast and hit each other. We're excellent female role models.
And not plugging the Steve Harvey book. All right, let's take a break, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, and then we'll plug roller derbies and film festivals and pledge money. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
I just saw... Part of why I love this show is people get used to our little little moments of...
It's like everybody's inside.
Yeah.
Everybody's in on it.
Our toy here at HG2. Watching Gina mouth Wesley Willis lyrics.
Wow, what a difference.
Is great. If I may suggest to the ladies for your team music, Wesley Willis.
Oh. How great would that be?
Yeah.
Come out.
My mom smokes crack rocks. Rock and roll McDonald's.
A number of favorites.
Cut the mullet. The chicken cow.
That's too bad, because I think we just decided to have our intro be Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
I think Retard Bus would actually be better. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Oh, we have members of the Circle City Derby Girls here and the Brian Pierce from the Wet Your Pants Film Festival and Kobe and Dan just hanging. And it's we are taking a break from Pledge Drive on HD1 to tell you on HD2. Call 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org and show your support for all the channels here at WFYI Radio, even this show.
Please.
I forgot to think of it. I got distracted by Susan Anton, but...
Who didn't, really?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But anybody listening right now, if you want to go online, make a pledge at I'm assuming you're already online at WFYI.
If you're listening to this as a podcast. Although if you're listening live, you're extra cool.
Yeah, you are extra cool if you are listening live. Yep. But anyway, at any rate, first person that makes a pledge online at WFYI.org or calls in at 1-800-233-0020 makes a pledge. Write in the comments, Kobe Slagle is cooler and better looking than Matthew Soucy. I'll take you out. I'll buy you yats. Matt will come too.
And tell you it's not true.
It's absolutely true. It's not a lie.
Fraud.
It is not fraud.
You will see
for yourself when we go to yats.
Oh, that I'm the before picture and you're the after? Or is it the other way around?
What?
It really depends on what happens.
Kobe, this is what you get to look forward to, all right? I think you're the before picture.
I sense a body switching comedy.
Oh!
Stay away from them fountains.
No, not that.
It's the worst movie ever.
Ever?
Well, maybe last.
You dropped the E-bomb. Wait a minute. Ever?
Okay, it was the worst movie last year.
Yes, you did actually announce that. So, okay, sorry.
It's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
Yeah, I get skittish when the E-bomb is dropped. So I just double checking. So
I backtracked.
Okay,
safe.
Cool. Thank you. All right, new on DVD and Blu-ray this week. You all right over there? You were thinking about the debate between Tracy and Gina?
No, I was thinking about some of my favorite Wesley Willis songs.
Okay, you can't say those titles, and you can't say those lyrics. So we'll move on. The big title coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Yes.
Because MI4 is too simple. And it's the latest from everyone's favorite loon Scientologist action star, Tom Cruise. And it's directed by Brad Bird. His first live-action film after giving us Ratatouille, The Incredibles, and The Iron Giant. Now, the question is, besides Tom Cruise, who is a producer of the film, who really asked for a fourth Mission Impossible film?
Me.
You did? Oh, it was
I
you.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah, I called him up and asked him to make another one.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he hand the phone down to Katie when she's in the pit?
Well, you always have to double check with your wife. It's only right if you're getting calls from a strange woman.
Oh, I see. Strange guys are all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, Cruz is back. This time he's with Simon Pegg and with some other people. Oh, Jeremy Renner. Who
yep.
He's in there as well. And they have another impossible mission that takes them to Dubai and India. And
how cool was that?
Russia. And, yeah, see, on paper, thinking, gosh, another one of these. What really, really helps is the direction of Brad Bird. And really, I guess some of the stunt work by Mr. Cruz. He likes doing stunts, whether the insurance companies will let him or not. But Brad Bird knows how to direct an action film. To review, the first Mission Impossible, directed by Brian De Palma. Really hard to follow, didn't make a whole lot of sense. After that, you learn to be less thinky with the MI series. MI2, directed by John Woo.
When doves fly in slow motion.
Underground, yeah. In sewers, over the top ridiculous.
That's where they are.
Yeah, have a few pints and then watch that. MI3, directed by J.J. Abrams, also pretty solid. Really good villain with Philip Seymour Hoffman. And in this one, no good villain, but really cool action stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody who saw it on IMAX knows what we're talking about. The hotel climb and the fights near the end.
Sandstorm.
Yeah, Sandstorm. Even the Sandstorm, which is a little long. But if that's the biggest gripe, I'll take it. And even the prison escape at the beginning, before the Lalo Schifrin music. I mean, it's really cool to watch. They are cool in this.
They are way cool. They were worth my time.
They were worth your time, and they were cool.
Did you almost say they be cool?
They be cool, which you're not supposed to say on public radio. So, but yeah.
All he had to do was be cool, and he was really cool.
He delivered. So
I'm sorry, those magical magnet gloves. Holy moly.
You want those, right?
Oh, no, I'd be terrified. I have a heights thing. But
nobody
how
said
cool
you could,
was that?
No, you could wear them. It doesn't mean that you have to climb buildings with them.
But what's the point of having them if I don't try to climb a building?
Why do you think they're so cool?
It's cool to watch someone else do it. I'll watch you do it. I'm not going to do it.
You can watch it like you can climb the first floor, not the
300th
floor.
Well, yeah, because if I fall from the first floor, it's not going to hurt as much.
Well, yeah, so you can still have them.
Because your batteries are not reliable on those gloves.
As we learned.
Yes, we learned that.
And really cool jump.
Really cool.
So, as you can hear, this movie is cool.
It's cool.
So, thank you, Tom Cruise. You're still a bit of a loon, but it's still cool to watch. So, do you have audio, or are you too busy texting over there? You're never right. You've been with the show how long? Can you count?
I can. I'm.
You don't hear when we're wrapping up?
Yes.
Just something to shut him up. While I look at more pictures of Susan Anton.
Well, I'm ready to see him in Rock of Ages next. It looks kind of cool.
Him in a musical.
But doesn't it look kind of cool?
Okay. I hate to talk about films before they come up, but I will do it. My issue is because I am of a certain age that there are certain songs by certain artists that really should not be in this film whatsoever.
Is your sweater itchy enough?
No, it's not. I'm intrigued, but I grew up with that music, and the fact that people who listen to this would never listen to this band or that band. But it's all lumped together because it's in the post-Glee karaoke, celebrity-oke world of let's just put some songs on a stage or in a screen and see what happens. So we'll see. We'll see. But he does look ridiculous as an 80s rock star.
He's got a good rock star look.
Yeah.
You have to wear weird clothes together.
80s were a different time. Right, Cobb?
That is absolutely true. 80s were a different time. 70s were a different time.
How about the 60s?
Way different time.
Yeah. But
the further back you go, the more different the time was.
Well, yeah. To be honest, yeah, it is. But
every decade is different.
And
you're not even covering the 90s.
No,
because we talked about it off air.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we'll save it for later. That's all right. Film sociology, where we save half the stuff for later. All right. Also,
tune in next week.
Tune in next week.
You
clipping.
Only hear half the fun.
That's right. That should be a premium. We do that with Stolen Moments.
Oh, yeah.
In studio audience. That means we have a laugh track, whether they think it's funny or not. Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, a film that some of the critics really enjoyed and kind of got overlooked. And we also have to give it props because it went with an NC-17 rating, the film Shame, also known as Naked Michael Fassbender.
Yep.
He plays a sex addict, and this is a subject that is treated in an actual mature way. It's a man who is never happy, never fully satisfied. It looks like he's going to be happy, and he just lets things get to the worst of him, or the best of him in this case. Fassbender, of course, did a number of films last year, and folks are really enjoying his work. Of course, the last thing I saw him in was in A Dangerous Method. He was also in Jane Eyre. And
X-Men.
Yes, he was Magneto in X-Men. And he's got this very cool, cold, Don Draper-like, only modern-day persona to him. And when you think you're following a very, you know, as my wife would say, why would I want to spend time with this person? Well, Fassbender is a good enough actor that he makes it's a compelling performance, and you stick with him even when he's doing some pretty bad items with other folks, and you see a lot of them. So there's that. Take that for what it is. But hopefully more people will see it when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, which happened this past week, so go check that out. Now, there's also the IMAX film Born to Be Wild, which is about animals. And this one is narrated by Morgan Freeman. We also have Frozen Planet. And there's only a couple of older titles that came out on Blu-ray. If you need these on Blu-ray. For instance, is there anybody here who asked for High Road to China on Blu-ray? I'm getting blank stares. Nobody knows what High Road to China is. I saw this in theaters when I was 12. High Road to China starred Tom Selleck and Bess Armstrong, and this was in the Tom Selleck trying to be a movie star phase of his career. You're right there, that boy, Brian. That caught you off guard, huh? Okay, well,
oh man!
Wow, Brian has left the room. I bring up the films of Tom Selleck, and he is gone.
That was a strong reaction of disgust for Tom Selleck.
Wow!
I never thought I'd see that.
You really wanted him to play Indiana Jones, didn't you, man? This was now a little background was Tom Selleck was originally sought after to play Indiana Jones, but CBS would not let him out of his contract for Magnum P.I., and of course it went to Harrison Ford.
Thank goodness.
The '80s were a different time. This was a long time ago. We'll save what for another time. We'll also save great casting choices that didn't happen. So, or interesting casting choices that didn't happen. So, he didn't get to do that, and then eventually he had enough clout that he was able to make some star in some action films like this one and Lassiter and Quigley Down Under and Runaway, and these are all pretty forgetful films, obviously. And this one felt like a World War One aviation version of Smokey and the Bandit, and that's just because, you know, Tom was rocking the stash in the early 80s. But
that's what you did in the 80s. Because it was a different
stash?
Time.
I didn't. I was 12.
Why didn't you get on that?
Because it's hard to rock a stash that's three hairs when you're 12.
You didn't try hard enough.
I didn't try. Great. Blame my glands. I appreciate that. So anyway, that's out. So Mr. Sella can have that on Blu-ray. Also, Buck Privates from Abbott and Costello. And for you Jackie Chan fans out there, Operation Condor 2.
Yeah, no.
You got that one too, right?
Yep.
All right. Wow. On that note, let's take a break. We'll do some celebrity old bits. We'll talk and we'll do Plug-O-Rama, the last 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And we'll
I'm
talk
so
about
excited.
We'll talk about what Kobe is watching. Did you watch anything?
I saw
Hunger Games.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple weeks ago. We'll talk in a little bit.
We'll save it for later.
Yeah.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. You know what? We'll just save it for later. We'll save that for later.
My name is Diamond T. Tombstone from the Svengoolie program on MeTV, and I wanted to advise you that you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis. I flunked sociology, so good luck.
Thank you, Tombstone. Of course, Tombstone, one of the many voices of Rich Coes from Svengoolie, which we've had on. Well, we didn't play his interview today because we did the last 2 weeks. But just in the shameless plug department, MeTV, which I believe in Indianapolis is 13.3, and this is what TV Land used to be like. Old programming, but Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, you can see a regular horror show host. That's Svengoolie. He's based out of Chicago. And tomorrow night, they're going to be showing Dracula's Daughter, which is from the Universal Archives from the 1930s and 40s. But a lot of fun. We'll have another interview with Rich, just one-on-one. It's like Frost Nixon, only without Frost or Nixon. But we'll be playing that a little later on.
It's still exactly like that.
It's exactly like Frost Nixon without David Frost and Richard Nixon.
That makes perfect sense.
It does. And hopefully we got to get Sammy Terry back in studio as well, because he's always fun to have.
He's probably busy being like creepy and undead and
terrorizing your girlfriend.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Leaves you open during the day. Thanks, Dan. That's good. And I know Gina wants to do a show with Mr. Terry.
I do.
And not just to gang up on Fair Sweet Bianca and her love of Twilight.
Only a little.
Only she's honest. It's good.
I like Bianca, but I just, you know, it's Twilight.
And did you show her Dracula? No. Abdul showed his wife Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was where's all the black folks?
Yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Shabazz asked where were all the black people in Dracula? And we played them the Richard Pryor bit, Wino Meets Dracula, which we can't play on radio, period.
Also, like to remind everybody, the first person that calls in at 1-800-233-0020 or makes a pledge online at WFYI.org and puts in the comments section of the pledge form. This can be a gift of any amount. $5, $10, $20, $40,
$1,000,
$1,000, right. Whatever. Pick a amount that works for you, that works within your budget. Place a value on the listening that you do here to Film Sociology. And give us a call at 1-800-233-0020. Again, the first person to put in the comments that Kobe Siegel is cooler, better looking than Matt Soucy, I will take you out. I'll buy you Yats for lunch. And Matt will come along too. It'll be a Film Sociology hangout at Yats. And I've got the pledge name report open right here on the computer, so I can see everybody's names. It's pledging.
So Bianca's email is coming in 3, 2, 1.
Look at that!
No. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Got a couple of news obits, film obits, before we talk with our guests a little bit. And the first one I want to intertwine with Into the Archive.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Wow. Let me try it again. Into the Archive is a regular series here at Film Sociology and these are the movies that some of the studios like Warner Brothers, Sony, MGM, they have movies that you can only buy online through their website, or as Kobe likes to put it,
yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Right, in the old college days. But character actor Luke Askew passed earlier this week at the age of 80. And most recently he played Hollis Green in Big Love, the HBO series. But his first film was in Hurry Sundown, the really ridiculous Otto Preminger racism drama from 1967, a 1967 film featuring Michael Caine with a Southern accent. Why this film is not on DVD yet, I don't know. That must be heard. Be funnier than Secondhand Lines. But he also played the sadistic prison guard in Cool Hand Luke and did a lot of TV and a lot of movies. He was also an Easy Rider. But the film I got to see him in as part of the Archive series, where Kobe would say,
yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Is the 1977 action drama Rolling Thunder, which stars William Devane, because Jack Nicholson's too expensive. William Devane is a Vietnam vet in 1973 who returns home after being in a prisoner of war camp, along with a fellow POW and soldier, a young Tommy Lee Jones. And when Devane comes back and some bad guys, including Lucas Q and ringleader James Best, for you Dukes of Hazzard fans out there. And they rob William Devane, they cut off his hand. Actually, they shove his hand down a garbage disposal. And then Devane's going to take law into his own hands. This is a film that not only is written by Paul Schrader, he had already made a name for himself by doing the screenplays for The Yakuza and Taxi Driver, and was just getting ready to direct Blue Collar and Hardcore. But it is also a film that Quentin Tarantino, one, named his production company after, Rolling Thunder, but he said this was one of the most influential films of the grindhouse genre. And that's a talk that we could do 2 hours on easily. And it's got the grindhouse, and the grindhouse trailer voice guy in the movie trailer. But it's a 1970s revenge film. It's well-made. It's got a little something more than just Kill Kill, because it's directed by Paul Schrader. There's a redemption tale, because if you want somebody to do a downward spiral redemption film, it's Paul Schrader, the man who later wrote the screenplay for Last Temptation of Christ and Raging Bull. So there's a little of that. Check that out. We also have French director Claude Miller, who was a film protege of Francois Truffaut. William Finley, who was one of the regular actors with Brian De Palma. We saw him in Sisters, The Fury, The Wedding Party, Dress to Kill, and The Black Dahlia. But he was also the lead and the title role of Phantom of the Paradise, a 70s rock musical. They were a different time, and you should check it out. But it is a story based on the Phantom of the Opera, only it's the Fillmore rock world, and there's Paul Williams and there's Jessica Harper, and it's very 70s, but very cool. So
very 70s.
Very 70s. 70s were a different time, you know.
They were a different time.
And Jemma Fennaca, director best known for his 1979 prison drama Penitentiary, considered by many the last blaxploitation film, made in 1979 with Leon Isaac Kennedy, get this, a man who was wrongfully accused and thrown in jail. Mm. and must resort to boxing in order to survive. They made sequels. One of them even had Mr. T. Not kidding. Early in his career, pre-A-Team, pre-Rocky III. So thank you for that. Hi, Gina.
I pity the fool that prison boxes.
Or boxes in prison. Wow. And just a note, mark these dates down. Friday and Saturday nights at midnight at Keystone Art Cinemas, starting in June. They got the midnight movies. June 1st and 2nd, 7. June 8th and 9th, Rushmore. June 15th and 16th, I wish we could do a remote, The Room. You should really see The Room with an audience.
Yes, you should.
The 16th is a roller derby bout day.
And where will you be?
I will be playing roller derby.
Where?
That's
something I was...
on the 16th.
Wow. On the in the rink.
Yeah,
I'll be in
the
a circle.
Track. I'll be skating in a circle. We'll be back at the Forum at Fisher's then, which is where we're going to have the rest of our home season.
Great. So you could go. You can go Friday night.
Yeah, that's what I should do.
Yep, 22nd and 23rd, The Shining, 29th and 30th of June, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, July 6th and 7th, Jurassic Park.
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah. Jurassic Park rules.
July 13th and 14th, Fight Club, July 20th and 21st, Ghostbusters, and July 27th and 28th, The Big Lebowski.
That's a really good run of movies.
Yes, it is. And The Room.
And that. It's like an art film.
It's just like an art film. So, all right. Brian, you doing all right over there?
No, I'm doing great.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, the Wet Your Pants Film Festival.
Well, the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival started in 2009. My brother was suffering from kidney disease and unfortunately passed away in 2009. So we started the festival in his memory, and all of our proceeds go to the National Kidney Foundation of Indiana. So this is our third year. It had been in November. We moved it to the spring so that we could kind of coincide with National Organ Donor Month, which is April. And this year we are showing 27 films, 7 features and 20 shorts. And 10 of the films either have were produced within Indiana or have really close Indiana ties. So it should be fun. We start those films start tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning.
Where at?
At the Madam Walker Theater Center over on Indiana Avenue and West Street.
Cool. And then tonight you have a 3D event.
Tonight we do have a 3D event. We are showing 3 films and
3D pants wedding.
Well, hopefully.
Ooh. I think Danny Trejo did something like that in Harold and Kumar's Christmas, but we can't talk about that.
But Chris Eller and a group from IU is helping us out with that. He actually came to me about 9 months ago and said, have you thought about doing a 3D portion of your film festival? So we threw this together as quickly as we could. And it is a free event open to the public tonight at 7 p.m. over on the IUPUI campus in the Informatics Building in room IT-152, which is their big, like, 200-seat auditorium. Mm-hmm. So that should be fun. We're showing 3 films tonight, Friday Night Tights, which will also play again on Saturday at 5:30. It's a animated film about a guy, what he does on Friday night that he doesn't want his friend to know about. Sounds dirty, but it's not.
I watched it. I know.
Yes. And then, we have 2 student films, from, I believe they're both from Bloomington, from the IU department or IU 3D filmmaking program. One's called Z Day and the other one's called Project Z6463. And they are both zombie films. So, so it should be interesting. And they both actually screened at the Los Angeles 3D Film Festival as well. So I haven't quite seen those two yet. Chris kind of took charge of everything. So I'm eager to see them as well. So
you have a lot of local filmmakers on this one.
Yes, we.
How many films were sent to you for submissions?
I believe, if I remember correctly, we had 60 films submitted this year, which was an increase over the last festival. So we keep growing a little bit. We didn't get quite as many international films this year as we have in the past, but we did get a few. We have a film that's showing once again tomorrow at 5:30 along with Friday Night Tights called The White Mosquito. It's a German film. I can't pronounce the German name. I apologize.
It's okay.
But it's a really, really funny film, that really dark comedy. So if you like dark comedy, we've got a couple of really good ones in the festival this year.
We're pro dark comedy here in Film Sociology. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. Like that.
Shut up.
But as far as the local films go, we do have a block on Sunday, and that block starts at, I don't remember exactly what time, 2:15 p.m., and we're going to be showing six films within that block. They're all shorts. Mm-hmm. Two of them have been made for the as part of the 48-hour film project here locally in past years. And then we're also showing Dry Gulch, Leah Not Leah, which is a about a 23-minute long film done by directed by Tom Johnson and Nate Savage of Inverted Staircase Productions.
Yes, and there's a few some actors I recognize.
Yes,
from
a lot of local, actors,
very local, and it's about if you're a Star Wars fan, yeah, you want to check that out. You'll relate, hopefully not too close in one way, shape, or form.
It's about a girl who was born right as the first Star Wars movie was coming out, and her parents name her Leah, not Leia, and everybody, all of her friends throughout her life, and everybody keeps giving her a hard time, calling her Princess Leia, and so she grows up absolutely hating the Star Wars universe. So
it'd be kind of like if somebody was born earlier this year and they were named Girl on Fire.
Katniss.
But then we also have a student film in that block from Taylor University called The Ghost of Grandma Doris. And the final film in that one is actually an animated piece, somewhat animated piece, I should say, called Night of the Living Spuds.
Yes. It's a zombie film, but it involves potatoes.
Yes, it's no sour cream,
no chives.
It's Night of the Living Dead with Mr. Potato Head. So
yep.
Oh, wow.
It's really fun.
It's terrifying.
That sounds enticing.
The only thing
are you afraid of carbs?
The only thing. have you looked at me lately? That would be no. That would be even scarier if the spuds were moving like in 28 days later. Really fast potato zombies.
Urgh. I'm molding.
And I also want to give a big shout out because one of the shorts is called is Mulligan, and
Take a Mulligan,
which is based on a play, series of one act shorts called It's All in the Timing, which was done at Earlham College last year and at Anderson University earlier this year. So very cool stuff. So for more information, where can they go?
www.wetyourpantsfilmfest.org.
Be careful when doing that search. You don't want to get on some other page. And careful when you check on this at work. Just saying.
Make sure that you include Film Fest.
Yeah, you don't want to do the other stuff.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry might be there.
Or just Google us and it'll pop up then.
There you go.
So.
Hi, Gina.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about the team.
Well, I should also mention what our website is, just
yes,
in case
you
forget all the awesome information I said earlier.
Yes.
It's CircleCityDerbyGirls.com, and you can find us on Facebook.
Or like
the same
them.
Name. Yes, go like us, please. I shared your link today.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So you're up at the Fieldhouse in Fishers. Now,
yes.
Flat? Are we doing flat?
Yes,
okay.
We do flat track skating.
Flat track.
Free to jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we're entertaining, but you gotta throw in a little bit. So actually, let me ask each of you: how long have you been with the team?
I started in May of 2010,
and I started last June, so almost a year.
What compelled you to join the team? I'm curious.
I watched some roller derby, and I've always I grew up with I was the youngest of four and all brothers, so I'm pretty physical and just look like a lot of fun.
You could probably whoop your brothers on wheels.
On wheels, yeah, I probably.
Yeah, okay.
She is one tough girl. She lifts like big dogs all day long at her job.
You lift dogs for a living?
Yeah, we
How's the benefits with that?
Yeah, workman's comp, but yeah, I work at a specialty clinic, so we have a lot of orthopedic surgery. So
I sling walk dogs. Oh, okay.
So yeah, the last week I had a 120-pound dog that we had to sling walk.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Do you have YouTube clips of this?
Unfortunately, no.
You should. Because that would go along with following Gina through the concession stand at the movies.
You know, it's an educational process.
It is an educational process.
That's what we're all about here at Public Radio.
It's educating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we open you up to different worlds.
What would you do without my popcorn seasoning recommendations?
I don't know, but that's got to be a special feature on a future DVD Blu-ray somewhere, sometime.
Yes.
The film sociology box set.
Yes. Yes.
So, How many teams are in the league? Because we should note there's another roller derby squad here in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think they have a match tonight. So
yep.
I'm wondering what's the difference between your league and their league?
Well, Naptown was started first, so they're a lot more established. And being further along, they have a lot of talent, and they actually went to nationals last year.
And
so it's very exciting. And we were all very supportive of that, too, because any knowledge and publicity that roller derby can get is good for all the leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But we do often get asked, are you part of Naptown? No, we're the other league in town.
Read the shirt. Yep.
So, yeah. But, you know, we were established, I believe, in 2008.
Okay.
It was before my time. But we've been growing very steadily since then. And we have two teams. Our top team is the Socialites. And our second team, our B team, is the Party Crashers. And they're going to be at the next doubleheader on May 19th.
Okay. So how does one go from one team to another?
You have to work really hard. And you have to show yourself in practice.
110%.
150%.
Thank you, white basketball.
Yes, you're welcome.
Scrappy young man there. Now, is it something like the English Soccer League where you accumulate enough points and you could be on the A squad or then you drop down?
It's determined by our coaches.
Okay.
They see how – and also by your attendance record. So show up to practice and work really hard.
And everyone has to pass WFDA minimum skills, which is the Women's Flat Track Derby Association. So when you start, you have to learn all these skills, pass these tests so you can be safe to bout. And then you practice, you learn scrimmaging and strategy. And then when you prove yourself in practice, you can be put on one of the teams by the coaches.
Very cool.
And we're both on the Socialites. Yay!
Yeah, we made it.
Of course you are.
Well, we're really excited to play.
You
it's
just
gonna
can't
be a lot
hide
of fun.
It. Yes.
Yeah, we're giddy.
Until you get on the track.
Yeah, then we're...
Yeah, I've seen those
pictures. Then we're scary.
There you go, folks, right there. All right, so some of the other bouts you have coming up, and who comes up with the pithy titles? The pithy games there.
Bout Production Committee.
NPR together, yeah.
I would say, so Bout for Blood is tomorrow.
Yep.
And then you have the Hit Crew on the 19th of May.
Mm-hmm.
Cruel Summer. God, bad song. June. Thanks, Bananarama. June 16th.
Uh-huh.
Red, White, and Bruised on July 21st.
Uh-huh. But, yeah.
Oh, the Kalamazoo Derby Darlings. Bring me some Bell's beer. And then Smear Campaign August 11th.
Yep.
Very good. So CircleCityDerbyGirls.com. So thank
Very
you.
Very exciting. Come see us tomorrow night.
Yeah. Besides just the fun brutality of the whole game, I mean, it is fun to just watch girls knock each other around. But if you can find someone who really knows the game, the strategy is really fun to watch, too. So learn the rules and watch us.
And it's family friendly, so you can bring your kids. Kids 6 and under are free.
Emma's bucking the do color commentary already.
Yeah. I really wanted her to come, but you guys are busy.
I know. Well, but, Pledge Show has a... No, we will... I will talk to the kids.
Emma, I want you to come play. It'll be fun. And then you can join the Junior Derby.
Sponsored by Bruise Cream. Okay, we got a little bit of time. Kobe, you and Gina want to geek out over Hunger Games. You know, there's a new director lined up for the sequel, so Gary Ross will not give you your handheld shaky cam for the next film.
I want to see the next one now.
I know, why do I have to wait? It's like so long.
I want a Twilight geek.
I just
they kick butt in this film.
Yeah.
They do.
She is so tough. She would kick her boyfriend's butt.
Come on. She survived the Ozarks of Missouri, so
she doesn't need
Missouri.
You also say Cincinnati?
Now.
Let me tell you something.
No. So
she doesn't need a guy to take care of her. She doesn't need two guys to fight over her to take care of her. She takes care of herself. She takes care of them.
That's right.
She's got bow and arrows.
That's right.
And skills.
she
can
climb
trees.
She has mad skills.
Mad skills with a Z.
Yeah. And the president's Canadian.
Yeah.
You'll find out more about that a little later on. So, but yeah, lots of fun. I did enjoy it. But you guys, you're dressed and you got the pin and... And you're trying to look like Woody Harrelson, so...
I'll admit that this is the third week in a row I've worn the Girl on Fire shirt to the movie theater.
How many times have you seen Hunger Games?
Just once, but I really want to go back again. I just haven't had the time.
Okay. Kobe's got skills. You know what he does? He produces, which means he wins games.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Here's some words
Silent
to live by.
Brain is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Ladies, gents, thanks for hanging out. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. And roller derby and film festivals. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org.